Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of prayer for our apostolic Sabbatarian congregation. I was out of the prayer for in the Elgin section. Today is March the 22nd, 2024, or it is the 25th day of Vidar, 2028. We will start our second service for this Sabbath day with the continuing of our subject. And we're with a subtitle of the name of blasphemy. We're on page 99 of two shepherd rod and by Vichy Hutter. And it says, for the Jeremiah, looking forward unto this time of the apostasy, says, thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, a work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe, for they deck it with the silver and with the gold, they fasten it with the nails, and with the hammers that it move not. Jeremiah 10:2-4. Though the word declares, learn not the ways of the heathen, profess ministers of the gospel, will cut a tree from the forest, deck it with the silver and gold, then dare call it by the name of the Christmas tree. What greater blasphemy can one do? Our ministers and religious teachers ignorant of these things. Yahshua said, Yahweh is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. For the John heard the men defying Yahweh, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That is, who can abolish this pagan system of worship? Is there one? For they challenged Yahweh's author, authority, for it may not be said by the words, but it is most decidedly expressed by the action. Man's discernment is blunted by sin, and when an attempt is made for the association of the sacred with the common or pagan, they see no evil, though the word of Yahweh declares, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of Yahweh, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings, by the pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love.
Yeah, by kindness.
Unfeigned, by the word of the truth, by the power of the Yahweh, by the armor of the righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by the honor of dishonor, by the honor and dishonor, by the evil report and good report as deceivers, and yet as true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath the Yahshua with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of the Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yahweh. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Yahweh Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:4-11, 14-18. It is open, this obedience unto the plain, thus saith the Yahweh, that has brought about confusion and disgrace in the Christian world at the present time. True, the Reformers saw not all these errors and were not responsible, for they had no light upon them. As Yahweh has given light upon His Word by the degrees, making it possible for the grasping of the truth, for He expects us for the receiving of it, and thus lead us on to victory. But one may say, if the Yahweh could save others with less light, why should He give us more light? Of the many reasons, we shall comment on only two. By the increased light on the Word, Yahweh is able to save a multitude instead of a few. For the second reason is, as the last part of the church will be translated instead of resurrected, we need sufficient light for the preparing us for the meeting Yahweh and immortal beings. Just such ignorance of the Yahweh's word in the days of Noah brought the world to its destruction by water, for a similar wicked condition reduced to ashes the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. If in the days of the Yahshua, just such hypocrisy under or within the appearance of virtue required the life as the Son of Yahweh for the preserving of the world from the destruction, what would the outcome be at this present time? For Yahweh cannot destroy the world, for He has a multitude to save. He has no other son for a gift to the church, for Yahshua is the only begotten Son of Yahweh. If the Yahweh's ideal is to bless the world through the medium of His church on the earth, and they unto whom the gospel for the world is, are committed, have left the sheep, and are serving the devil, and the person of themselves, where is the hope of the world? For the only answer that can be given is, woe unto the sinners in Zion. For the Yahweh will gather his sheep, for he will have a church. But what will be the reward of those who were instructed for the feeding of the lambs and are feeding themselves? For the Yahshua who sees the end from the beginning, and with his all-seeing eye focused on the present-day condition, has said, who then is a faithful and wise servant by whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when his coming, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Yahshua of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite, with the heads of the beast. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Matthew 24:45-51. For the separating of the tares from the wheat is our next subtitle. For the Peter saw a time when the Yahweh will judge the church. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. What would be the end of him who enters not into the ark of the safety, but goes by the way of the others, as the prophet saw the day of the vengeance upon the sinner in the Zion? And the Yahweh returned unto from the slaughter he had. Who is this that cometh from Edom with the dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come, and I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength unto the earth. Isaiah 63:1-6. Fearful is the day that is soon to fall upon the watchman on the walls of Zion, for the righteous only shall be preserved. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 53. For the separation of the pure from the impure is well described by the Ezekiel. Those who are worthy to escape the ruin will be marked by the man with the writer's ink horn the five men with the slaughter weapon shall smite the class who are left without the mark, said the Yahshua, or the Yahweh the Father. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city, Ezekiel 9:6-7. At this time the tares are separated from the wheat, according unto the words of the Asher. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into the bundle for the burning them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:30. For the purification of the Yahweh's church marks the harvest, or the loud cry of the third angel's message. For the Yahshua of the harvest declares that both go together until the harvest. For the wheat gathered at the commencement of the harvest and at the separation from the tares in the church is called the first fruits, the 144,000 of the harvest. As the John looked upon the company, he heard a melody of the joy inexpressible by the human lips, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb, Revelation 14:3-4. And no man could learn the song, experience only, and tell the joy in the one's heart at a time when rescued from the everlasting ruin and granted everlasting life without the tasting death, merged into the eternity's ceaseless ages, a life that measures with the life of the Yahweh. Confidence in men is a Satan's sure trap. This is our next subtitle. It says that we may search as far back as we desire, and it is certain that we shall discover, to our surprise and sorrow, that the church leadership has been so greatly deceived. Let's do that again. That the Seventh-day Adventist Church's leadership has been so greatly deceived by the General Conference that are nothing but Jesuit Catholics having come in and taken over the leadership of the Adventist Church without firing a shot, because the Adventist ministers were falling asleep at that time in 1890 when the General Conference ended up with the leadership of the Adventist Church, those Jesuit Catholics. That is, at an age period, they failed to recognize the unrolling of the scroll, and that's why that happened to them, our Adventist leaders. And as a blinded multitude took the side of the corrupted leaders against the revealed truth, they split Yahweh's church in the numerous sections. Thus, by the defeating of the foremost, Satan has been able, for the engaging them to labor for him, and thereby to overthrow the church as a body. To ascertain the accuracy of the foregoing statement, it would not be necessary to comment on facts beyond the first advent of the Yahshua. Therefore, a brief survey of the Christian era shall be considered here. For the Satan had drawn the dirt brush over the eyes of the highest human intellect. At the close of the Old Testament dispensation, their spiritual eyes were so skillfully plastered that they could not see a bolt of the lightning as bright as the sun. In the darkest night, the fulfillment of the prophecy, the miracles surrounding the birth of Yeshua, his spotless character, his unselfish labor, and wonders in every step, touch, look, and act, fill the very atmosphere with the divine love. Men who were destitute of the sense of the sight from their birth felt the healing power of the Infinite One. The blind saw the Yahshua, the glory, and praised Yahweh, but the religious teachers of Israel were not affected by the power that moved even inanimate objects, for the earth quaked, and the sun veiled its face, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened. The dead arose, and behold, the Son of Yahweh. But the crowd of Pharisees, priests, and rabbis, esteemed as never Aaron, could neither feel or see nor hear. There is no wonder greater than the one. There is no wonder greater than the one written by the actions of the blind leaders at that age. For the John speaking of the experience said, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The John 1, 4, and 5. Every possible ray of light pointing unto the coming of the Lamb of the Yahweh had been given to the once chosen people, but it profited them nothing or not. For Yahshua has said, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It says, with that these experiences could arouse the leaders and the people of this present time from the self-confidence and counterfeit obscurity to an earnest search of the positive Bible truth. For the early apostolic church and the manner was dragged and to the dark ages. As soon as the apostles passed away, Satan marshaled his agents, men of the renown, into the church. The already blinded leaders laid their hands on men, not from the viewpoint of consecration, but from the destruction, and thus made them shepherds of the flock. In the darkest hour of the apostolic church, Yahweh, by the hand of the Lucifer, called the attention of the multitude to the terrible deception. Let's read this last paragraph again. For the already blinded leaders and laid their hands on men, and from the viewpoint of the consecration, but from distinction, and thus made them shepherds of the flock in the darkest hour of the apostolic congregation of the apostles. For the Yahweh, by the hand of the Lucifer, called the attention of the multitude to the terrible deception that few were ready to listen to the humble heart. One would imagine that the most intellectual would have been the first to see the light and the flame. Thus said Yahweh, Luther, with a great struggle and at the risk of his life, founded the Lutheran denomination. But as he passed away, that movement in a like manner was corrupted and hardened against the new light on the word of Yahweh. So that was Martin Luther, the Presbyterian Church, came up in 1543 with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit exclusively, and Luther's church, after Luther was gone, from his influence, would not accept that doctrine. But the Presbyterian accepted Luther's doctrine and continued on. As John Knox came with the additional truth, the leaders of the church refused to be interested. This necessity gave birth to the Presbyterian denomination. These experiences have been repeated with Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and White. See the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 32-114. For we have far more to fear from within than from without. For the hindrances to the strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world. Review and Herald, March 22, 1887. If the danger against the church has been from within, though confidence in self-received leadership is in every age, what would change things at the present time? For these facts concerning Satan, a sure trap, echo and re-echo with the loudest wail for the rousing of a sleeper at this particular time. I hear the trumpet sound, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Isaiah 52:2. Prejudice with the dependence upon men and confidence of the harvest having all of the truth, and that there is no need of any truth, present truth, that is, has devoured more souls than any trap ever devised by the enemy of the mankind. For the class who accepts the decisions of others without the investigation for themselves and refuse to be interested in the hearing and reasoning the scriptures have been deceived concerning present truth in every age, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yahweh, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Yahweh knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. For the men who are esteemed great by the world, Yahweh can seldom use. In general, the great educators of the age are carnal minded. Therefore, the product from the schools of men is enmity against the Yahweh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, now there indeed can be, Romans 8, 7, if the Yahweh would use them, they must first, with the great apostle, deny themselves, said Paul, for to preach the gospel, or the plan of salvation to the brother of the Yahshua, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of the Yahshua should be made of none effect. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:17, 19. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came now with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Yahweh, for I determined not to know anything among you save Yahshua and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of the man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of 1 Corinthians 2:1-4. For the Yahweh took Moses to the desert, and there under and with his supervision he trained him for the 40 years. And Moses unlearned all that he had learned in the schools of Egypt, then only was Yahweh able to use him for an instrument of his mighty arm. When the Moses felt capable to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage, he failed, but when he saw himself helpless, then he was strong. If the Yahweh should give great light unto a man who is high in his own esteem and held likewise by the world, man would glorify himself and rob Yahweh of the glory. At this time Yahshua answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. For Yahweh reveals himself through the instruments and ways least suspected by men. Thus he performed a miracle by making impossibilities possible, revealing his power and arousing the speaker with the light and voice divine. Men of the distinction have seldom accepted any light upon the word of Yahweh. Simple on the value of his truth, this fact generally accepts the biblical truth after it becomes popular, and when preached by men esteemed higher than themselves. Said the prophet, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. It is better to trust in the Yahweh than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8. For the prophet Micah, looking forward unto this time of the carnal security, says, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Micah 7:5. Yahweh's people must learn to look unto him only depending upon the plain, thus saith Yahweh. He may use the human instrument for the communicating of the light, but it will shine on the never-erring word of Yahweh. such light will dispel sin and rebuke the sinner, exalt Yahshua, glorify Yahweh, and debase men. For the lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and yes, Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day, for the day of the Yahshua, the host, the Son of Yahweh, shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. For the saint knows how to deceive, so that it shall not be easily detected, for he studies the inclination of the people, and the thing which appeals most he sets as a trap, because the generation is trusting in the human intellect and are willing that others should think for them. For the devil will present to this class the most dazzling personality that the world has ever looked upon, said the apostle. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. For the Yahweh is an instrument for the communicating light upon his word will be the opposite unto those of Satan. I thank thee, O Father, Lord, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, said the Yahshua, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. That's 11:25. For the prophet Isaiah, it was revealed that Yahweh will use humble men for the debasing of the proud. For behold, the Yahshua the host, Son of Yahweh, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stave and the staff, the whole stay of the bread, and the whole stay of the water. For the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor, for the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Isaiah 3:1-5, said the Yahshua, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of the heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Matthew 18:4-5. For a brief summary of the leopard-like beast. Okay, it says, actually, this is our next subtitle. A brief summary of the leopard-like beast. It has been previously proven that the leopard-like beast, by his 7 heads and 10 horns, is a representation of a universal system. For the 4 beasts of Daniel 7, namely, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the nondescript were shown in the vision as 4 universal empires coming up one after another. Thus prophecy as well as history proves that Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome succeeded each other. With this unbreakable chain of the 4 links, makes it impossible for the intersecting any one of the 4 beasts with a universal system. Therefore, the leopard-like beasts come in a line after the fourth beast, as the ten horns of the nondescript beast represented ten kings that were to arise from the Roman monarchy. For the crowns on the horns prove that the leopard-like beast represents the period after the fall of the Roman monarchy, at which time the ten kings received their kingdom. As he also came out from the sea, it is evident that he too was created from the result of wars. Thus the fall of the Roman monarchy gave birth unto the fifth beast, his mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and ten horns show that he is a descendant of the Babylonian, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. As he opened his mouth and blasphemed for 42 months, or 1260 years, it is undeniable that he represents the papal period from 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D., the time in which the papal head received his deadly wound. But as his wound was to heal sometime after 1798, it is evident that he also represents this world's history after the imprisonment of the Pope Pius the sixth, up until the time that his deadly wound was healed. These periods gave birth to Catholicism and Protestantism. It would have been unwise and useless to devise this prophetic beast if the symbols would fail to reveal Protestantism as they do Catholicism. Before the 1260 years ended in 1798, the four Protestant denominations were already in existence, namely Luther with the Lutheran Church, Presbyterian with the John Knox as their minister, the Methodist with the John Wesley in 1725 as their minister from England, and Baptist with the ministry of Alexander Campbell, 1810. But after 1798 came the First Day Adventists, the Millerites, and the Seventh-day Adventist from 1844 to 1929 completed the seven heads as the Protestantism fell by the declaration of the second angel message after 1844, and as the symbol of the Revelation 13 in 1930 revealed that the Seventh-day Adventist wanted after this the world. These two incidents healed the wound and drew the blasphemy over all seven heads, thus the complete fulfillment of the symbolical prophecy revealed the truth of the beast, as all other sects are but offshoots from the seven bodies that has included all Christendom up to the 1930s, as the prophetic word of Yahweh said, all the world wondered after the beast, willingness, and not after the head, papacy. It denotes that they have wondered after, they have wondered after the world and not after Catholicism, out of this great apostasy and message of the Revelation 7:1 and 8 were sealed and 744,000 saints from the SDA Church who shall never taste death, but the message represented by the angel the Revelation 18, if his glory of the earth is to be enlightened, will call out from the world the great multitude of the Revelation 7 and 9, that's of the Gentiles. But Yahweh here is so particular for the good of his church is in the revealing of his truth unto his people, as presented unto us wonderful pictures of the historical event, which is as the evidence of love everlasting for Israel, his chosen, the first fruits of the harvest. Thus, Yahweh of the Jacob, thousands of years in advance, had laid his plans for the presenting of his people a work of the prophetic ark with the divine touch. This is the end of our subject and our study. Our next study is the two horned beast. And that will be the two horned beast of Revelation 13:11-18. As John beheld the vision with the intense interest, his attention was directed to another striking object. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, Revelation 13:11. Just about the time that the second and last stage of the nondescript beast was to be terminate, another earthly power was to come upon the stage of the action. According and to the vision, it is wonderful to note how accurate the symbols are, even to their proper time and order. For the beast, having lamb-like horns, promise of the growth, is an unmistakable symbol of a nation slowly arising, as from a small plant unto a mighty empire. Lamb-like is descriptive of the government arising in 1776 A.D. That's when our 13 colonies established the first Constitution of the United States. For the Great Controversy, page 439 and 441. For this beast has been accepted as a symbol of the United States. Therefore, our intention is not for the bringing forth facts pertaining unto its application. Our aim is, as previously stated, to briefly connect one beast with another by the throwing light upon the symbols which have not been understood. It will be noticed that every beast representing the New Testament time has 10 horns except this one. Well, we repeat that the 10 horns stand as a symbol of the universal system. This fact proves that the two-horned beast represents a local government, as the civil powers are. Two-horned beasts represent a local government, as the civil powers are. Governments are symbolized by horn. This particular beast having two, it is evident that the nation represented by this beast, or this symbol, which is the United States, that we have here in Georgia, shall have a double form of the government. As John said, the beast spake as a dragon. It clearly reveals that it is to repudiate the Constitution and the God-given liberty of his subject will be taken away. According unto Revelation 13:12, This power is to imitate the beast before him, the papal rule. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. If this great nation should presume upon the conscience of his subject by the legislation as to how they may or may not worship, it would be contrary unto the provisions in his constitution, speaking as a dragon, quoting the United States Constitution, the First Amendment concerning the religious matters, states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If this country should repudiate this amendment, it will completely meet the symbolical specification for the following. A verse discloses the fact that the old dragon shall exercise his power for the deceiving as many as possible, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to perform in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an end to the beast which had their wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:13-14. Thus he is to exercise persecuted powers as well as the working of miracles. As the word exposes this great deception, one would think that the world would open its eyes and refuse to be charmed by such satanic wonders, but Satan knows that the people are unmindful of the word of Yahweh and that their emotions are easily moved by the supernatural marvels and the eloquence of man. Therefore, he will perfect the contrivance, and many will fall into it regardless of the warning, for the human mind cannot comprehend that mysterious and irresistible power that as soon as spread its dreadful shadow over the inhabitants of the earth. No mortal being can stand against that supernatural, civil, and religious system. Those who are students of the Word, trusting in Yahweh without the reservation, and thus filled with the Holy Spirit, will escape that dreadful trap. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 53. For their only safety will be, thus saith the Yahweh, they must look to the Yahweh as their only deliverer, as did the three Hebrews. Actually, this is talking about Yahshua. Their only safety will be, thus saith Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For they must look unto the Yahshua as their only deliverer, as did the three Hebrew children, when Yahshua was seen walking in the midst of the fiery furnace with them in the ancient Babylon, and as Daniel in the lion's den, let the consequences be what it may. Yahweh's people can find shelter only in taking the position of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. as friends. They answered the king, or Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, then our Yahweh, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he shall deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3:16-18. Yahweh's people, with the Daniel, will be able to say at the time of their deliverance, my Yahweh has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel 6:22. At such time of the trial it shall be clear to see who will serve Yahweh and who will not. That time of the trouble shall divide the earth inhabitants into two separate and distinct classes, as a sheep and goats. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13:15-17. For this drastic decree of the two-horned beast shall be adopted by the nations of the world, and the image of the beast, which will demand obedience to an ecclesiastical form of the worship, will be international set up, for the mark of the beast is Sunday observance, under one pretext or another, for the careless and the indifferent will worship the image of the beast and receive the mark. Only those who have fortified themselves with the faith and Yahweh, knowledge of his word, and obedience to the divine precept through the sanctification of the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, will be able to escape the clutches of the devil, where the Yahweh's people are restrained by the buying and selling. The only source of the sustenance will be through the divine providence, one way or another. For that short time, Yahweh will provide and care for his people, but it may be in a simple circumstance, as in the wilderness journey. For the time is not far distant when, like the earthly disciples, we shall be forced to seek a refuge in the desolate and solitary place, as the siege of the Jerusalem by the Roman army was the signal for the flight unto the Judean, for the Judean Christian, show the assumption of the power on the part of our nation, and the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning to us. It will then be time to leave the large city preparatory to leaving the smaller ones for the retired home in the secluded places among the mountains, testimonies, and to the church, volume 5, page 464 and 5. For the 18th verse of Revelation 13 will be explained in another study. This brings us into our study for this hour, and we will close now with a song.